I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
We are joined by West Seneca supervisor and candidate for assembly, Gary Dixon. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Now, Gary, yesterday you announced some interesting campaign donations to Pat Burke's campaign. Explain for the listeners.
Yeah, so as you know, when the public financing or when the financial disclosure reports come out, you know, everybody who's into politics takes a look at them. And you know, of course, we look at the account that the opponent has in their campaign account. But I also knew that Patrick Burke has another account for another race, which is undeclared. And most people figure it's probably gathering money for his county executive race next year, which he's made no secret he's interested in. So I looked at that one, the undeclared one, I noticed most of the money came from a bunch of contractors in Queens who were at two addresses in Maspeth and Queens Village. And then I looked at his reporting for his campaign account for the 142nd Assembly District, and many of those same companies donated to him. So in grand to his campaign account. So in grand total, over $25,000 from nine different construction companies, recycling companies, at two addresses in Queens. And to me, you know, that just seems like a really clumsy attempt to skirt the spirit of campaign finance by routing contributions from connected but separate donors. And it's just the kind of thing that I think voters are sick of.
Now, you also mentioned where one of these was a few thousand dollars over what legally one company can give to the campaign, correct?
Well, that's true. One of the companies, ADC Construction in Maspeth, gave a total of $5,000 to his assembly campaign account. You can't do that. The maximum that anybody can donate to a campaign account in the campaign cycle, which is 2 years for the assembly, is $3,000. So, you know, he probably has to return $2,000. That same company, ADC Construction, also gave $3,000 to his other account, the undeclared account, which, you know, people assume is for a county executive. But, you know, you think about it. So you have these construction companies. They're donating to a sitting assembly person. I mean, okay, that kind of makes sense. But what logical reason would these contractors in Queens donate to an account for his county executive race? They could care less who's the county executive in Erie County, unless they're trying to curry favor now, which again points to the fact that, you know, if you look at the chart that I did, it just looks like a very clumsy attempt to donate more than you're allowed. And unfortunately, in New York, you know, the same person can own multiple corporations, and they're each entitled to give that maximum of $3,000. So it's really legalized pay for play.
What would you think these companies' interest would be in Pat Burke? I mean, is there any alignment with him in the assembly with these companies? Have you looked to see if these companies are actually doing other work except for giving to political campaigns?
Well, he is the chair of the cities committee in the assembly, and the cities committee does have some bills that affect contracting in New York City specifically. So that's where I said, you know, at least it kind of makes sense that they would want to donate to someone or at least curry influence with someone who has some specific authority over some of the bills that affect their industry. But like I said, they have zero interest in somebody's race for Erie County executive. And of course, like I said, it's an undetermined race, right? He hasn't declared what that the Burke Powers New York account is for. Everyone assumes it's for a county executive because what else could it be for? He's not going to run against April Baskin for the Senate. He's not going to run for governor. He's not going to run for comptroller or AG. So, you know, he's getting money. And how do they even know? How would these contractors in New York even know about that account unless he or somebody from his account said, hey, if you'd like to help me, wink, wink, please donate to this other account, which is not for any particular race, but wink, wink, it would certainly help me out.
Is this the kind of thing where, like, down to the wire, he could pull from another campaign, or can that money not be used for this election?
I don't know exactly. I assume he could at some point give it to, for example, a party committee. So he could give it to the,
we've these darn cell phones. We have lost connection with Gary Dixon. We'll get him back on the line. But the reason I said that was because Jeremy Zellner, if we remember when he was running for Senate, I believe there was a time in the primary where he took money from his chairman's campaign. I believe that was part of the story where Zellner had brought over some money from his chair campaign to finish off the primary, which turned out to be a waste of money because Zellner obviously didn't win the primary. But I think it's so interesting. I want to get Gary Dixon's thought of this when we get him back on the line. You know, Pat Burke is obviously eyeing something else after this. And it reminds me so much of when Sean Ryan was running for state Senate. And then we all know what that became because it opened up the seat when he became mayor, and then the whole Zellner thing, we saw that. Gary Dixon's back on the line. Supervisor, sorry, we lost your phone there. The reason I asked that question about moving money over is because I remember in the primary, I believe Jeremy Zellner brought money from his chair campaign over to finish out his Senate campaign.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
True. And of course, money can be spent on, for example, some sort of consultant out of that account that he can try to say with a straight face has nothing to do with his assembly campaign. That's the sort of thing that Tim Kennedy did before he ran for Congress. He had over $1 million in his state Senate campaign account, and he spent a lot of money before he ever even ran for Congress, much more than he ever had in any race. But, you know, it's all legal. It shouldn't be, but it is.
Now, as I was saying, you know, I remember when Sean Ryan ran for his last term in Senate, and, you know, he won, and what, a few months later, he started running for mayor. I mean, it seems like this could be what Pat Burke's doing, have, like, the assembly be the fill-in as he goes to that higher position for county executive, because as you said, he's made no secret that that's the next step for Pat Burke, or that's what he would like to be the next step for Pat Burke.
Right, and it takes a certain amount of chutzpah to ask people to fund your assembly race, knowing full well that you intend to run for something else. I mean, you know, to be fair, I ran for Congress right after I was reelected for the for supervisor, but I had no intention of running for Congress when I ran. I really only made the decision when Michael Crocker asked me to in February or March.
You'd have to be a future. You'd have to be able to see into the future to even know that that race was going to open up, because no one knew Higgins was going to drop out as soon as he did.
That's absolutely correct.
Gary, I want to ask you, since we got you on the line, and one of my topics today is going to be about the Buffalo public schools. Obviously, part of the district you're running for is in the city. How do you think the state should handle this school board issue going forward?
I think the state should take over the whole district. I think it's got to be cleaned out from top to bottom. Teachers have to be empowered. There's too many administrators. From what I understand from talking to teachers, it's not going to fix itself. There are embedded interests. And just like when, you know, when Buffalo was taken over, you know, 15, 20 years ago, sometimes that's, that kind of harsh, tough love has to be done, because it really is about the students. It's about the kids. And every year that is delayed is another class of kids that is not getting the best education that we can give them.
It's just it's so interesting, you know, in the last since the pandemic, the city is now on their fourth superintendent in 6 years. It just seems very unstable. And as you said, the kids are the ones at the end of the day, the kids. And, you know, there's some great teachers in the city. And I feel they're losing out, too, by some of the mismanagement at the board level.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I know a lot of teachers in Buffalo School District. System. I've talked with them, and I feel for them, because they are really in it for the children, but it's just politics, and that ruins it. And we can't allow that to keep happening.
Now, Gary, I've got to ask you while we have you here. Since we last spoke, the Costco announcement has become official, and what another great thing to put on your resume, land that sat there for almost since I was born, empty, and now we're going to see some real development in the old Seneca Mall site.
Yes, I'm very happy about it, but, more importantly, the residents of West Seneca are very happy about it. The vast majority of people, really welcome it, and, we can't wait for construction to start and for it to open. I mean, it's going to be jobs, it's going to be tax revenue, and it's simply, it was the worst eyesore in town, and finally the end is in sight.
That's great news for West Seneca. And I got to ask you this, but before we end this talk, I was talking about Zellner yesterday, and he has, I think, is just ridiculous. And it's not to downplay. I think local government is the most important government. I think you go local, state, county, you see those implications in your life a lot sooner than anything nationally. And but I just thought it was funny. Zellner has a campaign for someone running for the West Seneca Town Board. And his statement was, we're going to stand up to Donald Trump by electing this Democrat to the West Seneca Town Board. I mean, are we just not at the ridiculous bringing Trump into the West Seneca Town Board election?
It is. It has nothing to do with West Seneca. I mean, we, just like the state created its own problems, and only people in the state level can fix them. And same in West Seneca. I mean, if he wants to, that shows how empty they are, how few real arguments they have if they have to bring in Donald Trump into a race in West Seneca.
It really has become the party of, I'm sorry to say it, the party of socialism and the party of not being Trump. They really don't stand for anything else. Well, Gary, always great talking with you. And anytime you want to join us during the campaign, it's an open invitation, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much.
That is West Seneca supervisor and candidate for the assembly, Gary Dixon.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.